नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 9 ओह सॉरी टेक्स्ट 12 to text 18. The chapter is entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritasura. Atan Vaharya Panchanad Utito Gurudarshanaha Kritanta Ivalokanam Yuganta Samayata. Translation. Thereafter, from the southern side of the sacrificial fire known as Anvaharya, came a fearful personality who looked like the destroyer of the entire creation at the end of the millennium. Please repeat. Thereafter, from the southern side of the sacrificial fire, known as Anvaharya, came a fearful personality who looked like the destroyer of the entire creation at the end of the millennium. And there's no purport to this verse, so I'll read now from 13 to 18 and then read a purport there and take it from there, if that's okay. Visvagvivardhananam tam ishu matram dine dine dhagda shaila pratikshanam sandhya bhranika barchasam tapta tamra shikash mushroom madhya narkogra lochanam didip yamane trisikhe shula aropya rodase Nriyantam unadantam cha chalayantam padamahim darigham birahaktrena pibata cha nabashtalam lihata jiva yakshani grasata bhuvanatrayam mahata rodadamstrena jimbamanam mahur mahu vitrasta dudravur loka Viksha Sarve Disho Dasha. Forgive me for mispronunciations. Sanskrit's not my first language. Translation. Like arrows released in the four directions, the demon's body grew day after day. Tall and blackish, he appeared like a burnt hill, and was as lustrous as the bright array of clouds in the evening. The hair on the demon's body and his beard and mustache were the color of melted copper, and his eyes were piercing like the midday sun. He appeared unconquerable, as if holding the three worlds on the points of his blazing trident. Dancing and shouting with a loud voice, he made the entire surface of the earth tremble as if from an earthquake. As he yawned again and again, he seemed to be trying to swallow the whole sky within his mouth, which was as deep as a cave. He seemed to be licking up the stars in the sky with his tongue and eating the entire universe with his long, sharp teeth. Seeing this gigantic demon, everyone in great fear ran here and there in all directions. And text 18, Inavrita ime lokas tapasa tvastra murtina savaivrita iti proktaha papa parama daurunaha. Translation, the very fearful demon, who was actually the son of Tvastra, covered all the planetary systems by dint of austerity. Therefore, he was named Vrita, or one who covers everything. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a very long purport, so please, everyone, concentrate very carefully. In the Vedas, it is said, Saimal lokan avrinat tad vritasya vritatvam. Because the demon covered all planetary systems, his name was Vritasura. Hare Krishna. I hope you caught the main point there. Can anyone remember the main point? Hare Krishna, I'm only joking. Agyanati Mirandasya, again for me to be here in the famous Chaupati Radha Gopinath Mandir with all of you. It's not only a great honor, it's extremely blissful to be here. And I must say that your temple has created a feverish pitch of Krishna consciousness in terms of its reputation around the world, because from your leader, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, who is very well known internationally, very, very well known, and then to his confidential associates from Gauranga Prabhu to Govinda Prabhu, Gaur Gopal, and Brij Bihari Prabhu. I don't know if he's here, but he was there some time ago, and many others who have traveled and visited, certainly Bhaktivedanta Manor. Their example in terms of being philosophers of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and also very fine examples of practitioners of Krishna consciousness, they're setting an extremely high standard. So I think that all of you are going to bear the burden of immense responsibility here, because when any of us internationally come here, we expect everyone to be like that. So, as you know, if you have a big company, perhaps your main focus is reputation management. Once you have a brand, your prime responsibility is to protect that brand. So it's a very grave responsibility, but I think you're doing a very grand job of it. So it's a real pleasure to be here among you. I should be listening to all of you, but by your kindness, you're making me feel that I should be speaking. The subject here in this canto is, of course, the appearance of the demon Vritasura. Certainly from the description that was just given here, it certainly you wouldn't think to be the description of a devotee. Maybe a Scottish devotee may have copper red hair, and when he speaks, it sounds like he's shouting. Maybe we are descendants of Vrita, perhaps. But it certainly doesn't appear to be the description of a devotee. A body growing, well, perhaps a body growing day after day with the amount of prasad devotees eat, but tall and blackish, appearing like a burnt hill. I don't know if you may ever remember anyone coming to the temple who looked like a burnt hill. Maybe in central London, Soho Street. Maybe it's a daily occurrence. Somebody comes to the temple, they look like a burnt hill that's just been put out. And hairs all over the body, a big beard, moustache, like melted copper. Eyes piercing like the midday sun. You know what the midday sun is like, especially here in India. They say there's a common saying, isn't it? The only people in the midday sun in India are mad dogs and Englishmen. I don't know how that came about, but anyway, it's a saying. And so his eyes were just piercing, burning, just like the midday sun. And he was dancing and shouting. His dancing was so vigorous that the entire earth was shaking. Just like there was an earthquake. I think you may all remember when there was that terrible earthquake in Bhuj. I think even this place was shaking at the time. I know in all the way in Vrindavan, I was staying there at the time. And our houses were all shaking. So just like an earthquake, I don't know what it was on the Richter scale, but the entire earth was shaking when this Vritta was dancing. He was extremely powerful. And he was yawning again and again. It seems like a strange combination to be shouting, dancing, and yawning. But he was yawning. And when he was yawning, it looked like he was trying to eat the whole sky with his mouth. His mouth was like a massive cave, and his teeth. I believe you have a famous dentist here who's known throughout the whole ISKCON. I was hearing from Krishnanand Prabhu that even he set the teeth of Lord Nrisimhadev in Mayapur. All the Nrisimha Bhaktas will be going to him saying, I want a set of teeth like Nrisimhadev. So the teeth were very sharp. He was extremely gigantic. And just in seeing him, people were just running in every direction to get away from him. So this is Vritasura, no small personality. And in the purport here, Prabhupada simply makes the point. It's about this point of Vritta. Saimalokan avrinot. Tad Vritasya Vritatvam. That because this lokan was completely avrinat, covered by him, then tadvritasya vritatvam, he's vrita or vritasura. He covered everything like that. So that avrita means to cover. And it doesn't mean to dissolve or like sunya. I think we'll understand this word clearly from, or we'll be used to saying it in a very special verse, which is all known to all of us. That the, what is it? Anyabilasita sunnam, jnana karmadi anavritam. So there, instead of vritam, anavritam. So vritam means covered, then anavritam means uncovered, isn't it? So devotional service, pure devotional service, first-class devotional service, jnana karmadi anavritam, is not vritam. It's not covered by karma and jnana. It doesn't say that jnana karmadi sunyam, that there's no or zero jnana and karma. Like in the first line, anyabilasita sunyam, there it expresses that any other desire, anyabilas, is completely sunyam, outside of the desire to serve Krishna favorably. Outside of the desire to serve Krishna favorably, then every other desire, anyabilashita, is sunnam, is zero. It doesn't exist. Of course, there's one little point of exception there, because it just doesn't say anyabilasunnam. It says anyabilashita sunnam, and it's literally understood that why it says anyabilashita, the final declensions there, that because in an extenuating circumstance, a devotee may desire something which is not compatible even with his nature, but he may exhibit a desire for that thing, then if he does, it's not considered to be a breach of the principle of pure devotion. And an example is given of this. Like, for instance, if you are chanting your rounds, perhaps here on the road, I mean, the way they drive on the roads here is from where we come from, it's absolutely insane. Somebody put out on the internet in the West, you know, something that said like, you know, God is the supreme controller. And they put a video camera looking down on a junction in India, in a main area, a road junction. And it must have just been filming that for like a day, because then it showed it speeded up. And it was just completely insane. And it was saying, you know, everything's running by God's grace. So if you walk on the road and you're chanting and you turn around and all of a sudden you see a Tata Sumo coming towards you and you're just chanting on your beads, then chances are that you may not just say like, Haribo. You might say like, oh, Krishna, save me. Then, I mean, that, if we think, well, is that pure devotional service? Now you're praying to be saved. Saved from what? You're not following, this is a desire. You're desiring to be saved. You're desiring to live. So that's not pure devotional service, because pure devotional service means, never mind wanting to live, salokya shasti samipya shurupye katvamashnute diyamanam nagrinanti binamat sevana. Jana, that Krishna is saying, even though I'm trying to give devotees diyamanam nagrinanti, I'm trying to give them salokya shasti samipya surupya, all types of liberation. Nagri, they don't want it. They don't want to take it. Nagrinanti. Binamat sevana. Outside of my service, they desire nothing. Not even liberation. Never mind even liberation. Those, it stated, the Govinda Bhaktas, they're not even interested in Vaikuntha or the association of Narayan. As was nicely expressed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when the gopis were lost and couldn't find Krishna anywhere, then he disguised himself as Narayan. And he stayed there with displaying his whatever chaturbhuj or four arms. And when the gopis came before him, they just said to him, Namo Narayana Deva. Please accept our obeisances, Lord Narayan. And Karaha Prasad, just give us your mercy. Please tell us which way did Krishna go. And remove Mora Guchaha Vishad, and remove our lamentation. Just like he was somebody directing the traffic. They just said, give us mercy, where's Krishna? So like that, it's explained the Govinda Bhaktas. And you know, Raghunath Das Goswami is very strong on this point in his Manashiksha, in expressing that the devotees don't even aspire to be with Narayan. I mean, that's not a small thing. So here I am chanting on the road and I've just prayed to Krishna, Krishna, save me. Then what kind of devotee am I? Well, in the devotional path, things aren't just quite as ruthless as that. And that's why it's stated anyabhilashita, which means that if you act out of context or out of character because of excruciating circumstances, like you fall off a cliff, and you just say something in a moment of bewilderment or desperation or fright, then it's not considered to be a breach of your pure devotional service because it's inconsistent with your deeper character. But still, your deeper character as a Vaishnava is abhilasa sunyam. to become free from every desire outside of the service of Krishna. But jnana karmadi anavritam, with an avrit, why then just an avritam? As here, vrita. Meaning, why just jnana and karma should not cover or obscure your devotion? Well, because jnana, knowledge, and karma activities are essential parts of devotional life on every level. So, therefore, they can't be eradicated completely. But it's the unfavorable forms of the jnana and karma which are unacceptable to the devotee. Those forms which obscure devotional service. Like, for instance, with karma. You know, probably we who don't have or are not from such a rich cultural background don't worry about this too much, this point. But if you're from a very, very cultured family and you have been brought up, you know, you're born with a good sanskar and you've been brought up according to a very respectable tradition, you understand you have so many dharmas and karmas that you have to fulfill as a respected and responsible human. Like, you know, it said the Shraddha ceremony for departed relatives. We understand, you know, it's important. We should give respect to the dead and honor them by performing Shraddha rites and all these things. Also, the respect and honor that we give to our parents, to society. In every way, there are so many karmas which are the requirement of a civilized person. You'll find that in very cultured families in India. In India. Just recently in London, there was a Bollywood actress called Shilpa Sethi. I don't know if you've heard of her. You've heard. Were you out protesting? Stop the racism. There was a TV program. I think you have it in India also. I think here it's called Barabai. There it's called Big Brother. And people were watching her for 1 month continuously. And in this program, the British celebrities were like, I mean, their behavior was horrific. Most of them. And even though she's just, I mean, here, maybe, I don't know, maybe you think she's just some, you know, Bollywood joke. Or, you know, she appears in movies, which, of course, I know you haven't seen. And the character you must think is, that's abominable. I mean, that's terrible. But in Britain, when people saw her, they thought she was an incredible role model for their children. She wasn't even vegetarian. Well, she was on a Thursday. But the character was, for a movie star, was phenomenal. So, what to speak of the good people? I mean, I'm not saying anything. It's not a good... I mean, very cultured people. What is the character? So therefore, when they take and embrace the process of devotional service, and then they hear sarvadhamam parityaga mamekam sharanam. When Yudhisthira was brought to the point to just tell one fib, it was a massive obstacle on his path and in his loving relationship with Krishna. He was completely shattered, the thought. Because those of the Vedic inheritance will feel, if I don't do these things, there will be the commission of sin. So if one thinks like that, if someone in unalloyed devotion thinks that if I don't perform the Shraddha, if I don't perform all of my Vedic karmas and dharmas, then I'll be committing sin. This is considered anavritam. This is covering pure devotion. This is obscuring your devotion, and it shouldn't. Also, if someone thinks that by performing the Vedic dharma and karma, that as a consequence they'll attain bhakti, then also it's obscured. So the anavritam for karma means in this sense. However, when you see the pujari running upstairs with the offering in his hand, he's late, he's very busy, he's busier than anybody. Somebody may say, look, he's more a karma, why is he not just doing bhajan? No, that activity is commendable. That activity is a necessity. So therefore, it's not that activity is bad, it's just the unfavorable forms of it are rejected. Therefore, an avrita. Also with knowledge, jnana. If we just stop knowledge, I wouldn't be saying anything. I'd just be sitting. Just like I went to see one very prominent sadhu from India. He came to England. He's responsible for a very big foundation to do with art of living. I mean, revered, honored, respected. So they invited a whole host of VIPs to visit him. And I was also invited. And when we sat down in the room, then he came, everyone was all, Jai Gurudev, 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 Gurudev. And he sat, and when he sat, he just sat. If you think that was long, I was there for half an hour. My mind was working overtime. I was thinking how you probably know all the principles of, you know, the proper conclusions, but you're not delivering. You've developed a brand and it's very sellable and you're not delivering the facts. So my mind was going, I was thinking in situations like this, I shouldn't be in PR. I shouldn't be in communications. I should just stay back at the temple. It wouldn't be helpful to our movement. So I was just struggling with my mind and I was saying, you know, just how can you deny that chanting Krishna's name is the dharma for this age, and how can you not explain that to people? All right, you're doing good work, but don't deny them these facts. After half an hour, then finally he spoke. And he said, isn't nonverbal communication wonderful? And I thought, nonverbal communication, you never heard a word I was communicating. So you were safe. He said, this talk, 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 what's the use? So like this, maybe if we just stop talking, the Hare Krishna movement just stop talking, maybe we'd spread faster. But the problem is that we give everything in the first dose, isn't it? In our preaching, sometimes it's not good. But you just meet someone, Hare Krishna, how are you? Hare Nam, Hare Nam. What? I'm a Christian, you know, and then we just go for the jugular vein. Ah! But in the Gita it says, and this and that, and completely finished them in one go. Once I was on a train in India, and I was challenged by a big pundit on the train. This is years ago. And he had every decoration that you could possibly wear to make the point. It might as well have said, you know, Danpatra on the chest. But he had every symptom, and he walked on the train, he saw me on the train, and somehow he was intimidated by my dress. And he just challenged me in front of everybody. Now, this was one of those trains that go through Bihar. like a local train. So I had probably booked the whole seat, but I was on about that much of it. Everybody was just crushing me. They just go, "Tota adjust." And then another one comes. And then one big Mataji will come, "Tota adjust." With all the kids and all. So anyway, this pundit in front of everybody, he just started to blast me. "I don't know any, you don't know anything, this, that, you know, Malecha, you descendant of Vritasura." So in that situation, I just, finally when he became silent, then I said to him, "Do you accept the Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Of course we accept the Bhagavad Gita. This is, you know, Jai Bharatma, Hindutva, Gita is our scripture." And I said, "Then as a very learned man, you'll understand clearly, Vedaischa sarvamaham eva vedyo vedantakrit veda vedeva chaham. The purpose of everything is to know Krishna. And the means to know him, bhakti mama bijanati, is by devotion." And he stood like this. Literally, he was shaking and he couldn't speak another word. And everyone was waiting for him to say something or explode. And then finally he just turned and walked away from the situation. So, anyway, we're a preaching movement, isn't it? But, so the point about jnana is that knowledge is very important. How I was able to speak to him, how the scriptures speak to us, even in the highest sense. I mean, how will you offer Krishna the things he likes if you have no knowledge of what they are? So jnana is very important. When we say even jnana sunya bhakti, that doesn't mean there's no knowledge. It means that the basis of your devotion is not your intellect. The basis of your devotion is your love. You just love Krishna. And everything flows from that love. It's the impetus for everything. So jnana sunya bhakti means that you've come to a point where you're serving Krishna out of your intuitive love. Like Yasoda Mai, she didn't have to read the Bhagavad Gita before Krishna woke up to figure out what to do that day. She just knew, her breasts were just leaking milk at the very thought of her son. It was the intuitive devotion. But she still had knowledge of his likes, his dislikes, and of his misbehavior and so many things. We would say she's the most knowledgeable person because she knows what he likes. So it's not that knowledge is unacceptable. It's just that knowledge should not, anavrita, obscure our devotion. And knowledge will obscure our devotion if we get stuck with lower forms of it. When we say, jalavidya jato mayar bhai bhava, Tomara Bhajana Bhada. That the cultivation of Jada Vidya, dull knowledge, material knowledge, Jada Vidya Jato Maya Vaibhav, it's just really Maya. I'm not saying stop studying and all that. I used to say that when I was a young man. I got in so much trouble with everyone's parents. I gave a lecture to students and told them all, stop studying, join the temple. Now they're all doctors and all contributing to the temple. I haven't accomplished anything in my life and all their parents are still furious with me. Not like that. It's important, no doubt. But in the ultimate sense, jara vidya jata maya vaibhav. It's the very vaibhav of maya. It's the very vaibhav of maya. And it is an obstacle for bhajan. Tomar bhajana bada. anitya samsare. It just furthers us in samsara and the hell of it, the agony of it. What's the anitya samsare? Moha janamiya anitya samsare jibake kareye gada. It makes a donkey of the living of the person. Could you imagine having the head of a donkey? Become a donkey, it makes you an ass. Because you're just beginning to carry the whole burden of planet Earth on your shoulders. So that type of knowledge, if we make it the goal of our life, it will be of no help to us. It will fail us in the end. No matter how much, maybe Einstein or whoever. But that knowledge will not serve our ultimate purpose. It may serve some initial purpose or, you know, etc., etc. But ultimately, in the ultimate sense, we can't be attached to it. Therefore, anavritam, if we become attached to it, then it will obscure our devotion. Then the knowledge of jiva brahma aikyam, the type of knowledge of Upanishads, of that the jiva and brahma are one and all of this type of knowledge, this will also obscure devotion. Then, where it's all emphasizing oneness. Sure, we're one in nature, isn't it? Nityanam, nitya, nitya, and all, etc. Sure, in terms of the substance of our atma, we're of that atmosphere, Brahman. Sure, we're part of that, no doubt. Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. But when we go too much into the oneness of the nature, then that in itself also obscures the devotion, anavrita. So therefore, we don't want to, like the earth was obscured by, completely covered by Vritasura. And therefore, because he covered the earth, he became Vrita. We similarly should not allow our devotional service to become jnana karmi, vrita, vritam. Because it will just, you know, we'll be chanting forever. We'll be dancing forever. But ultimately, all of these things serve a purpose. In the lower stage, they serve a purpose. In the higher stage, they are symptoms of devotion. They're characteristics of love. Initially, they're means to an end. Their means in the end is the same, no doubt, but they're a means to an end. So we should be very careful that we're not just doing all these things continuously. It's like they used to say in the Gaudiya Mat, that type of devotional service is like firing blanks. You know, when they start the race, they shoot the gun, but nobody dies. They shoot the gun, bang, everybody runs. So just like that, if I come in here with a gun with blanks and start shooting it, you might all start running, but nobody's going to be harmed. Maybe I'll be harmed after I run out of blanks. But that type of devotion that doesn't have at the core of it Sharanagati, the sense of Sevan Mukata, Sevan Mukata hi Jivado, the devotion which is not in substance being performed completely in the selfless service spirit, Sevan Mukata, then that is just considered to be hollow. It's a hollow type of devotion. There's one little story where this was, I'll just finish on this. One nice story where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was traveling. He was just at that time a boy. He was traveling with his father, who was doing the Namhata, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And they were going to one village. But on the way, they stopped in an old building to rest. And in the night, when Bimal Prasad woke up, he was woke up by a big disturbance because the bricks and things in the house were flying from side to side. Just like you would see in one, like, horror movie or something. Poltergeist. The things were flying everywhere. There was some unseen presence. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur just chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare, oh yes, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He chanted like that. And then he went back to sleep. And when they got to the village the next morning, they got there so early, all the people said, how you managed to travel, you're so early. And they said, oh, we slept in that old building there. You slept in that building? How could you sleep there? There's a ghost there. He was the pujari and he was the priest. And now he's a ghost and he does crazy things. And they said, oh, I just chanted Hare Krishna and everything was fine. And then they said, yeah, but how's that possible? He was chanting all the time and he became a ghost. So what's this chanting business? He was chanting, he became a ghost. Sometimes if we have a problem with subtle entities, we start chanting, Hare Krishna, and it doesn't go away. We think the mantra's not working. Well, try something else. Om Namo Shivaya. This is not working. Try something else. But it's the very substance, the potency. So that's exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said to him. He wasn't chanting. He just said he was saying letters of the alphabet. Nam Akshara. He was just saying letters of the alphabet. Therefore, obviously, it wasn't having the desired purpose. Now, no doubt that even we know Eka Krishna Nama Kare Sarva Papakshay. Even if you say the name of Krishna Nama Bas, the sin is finished. Like that. But the ultimate fruit of Haridas, like Haridas Thakur said, Haridasa Kohena, Nama E Dui Falinai. The goal of chanting the name of Krishna is not Papa Nash, the destruction of sin. It's not Mukti. It's not Mukti and it's not the destruction of sin. These are just, he said, these are just consequences of chanting. But the nama phale Krishna pode prema upajoy. The real fall of the name, nama phale Krishna pode prema upajoy, is to arouse our love for Krishna completely. So, in that spirit, Sevan Mukata, we approach devotional service. And until we find within ourselves that Anyabhilasita Sundam Ganakarnadi Anavritam sense, and the sense of just complete self-surrender, until that, there is absolutely no reason why Krishna should or would reveal himself to us. Because we have nothing in our capital. Nothing. That's sunya. We have nothing in our capital. I mean, Krishna may be from India, but he doesn't take a bribe. That's for sure. He's not from India, I know that. He's from Vrindavan. He may take a bribe. So, this We have nothing in our capital. All we do have is we have the potential to surrender ourselves completely. In such a sense, aslistya va padritam vinashtumam adarshanam mamahatam karo tuva yatha vidatato va lampato mat prananathas tu saiva napadaha. That doesn't only reveal Krishna, Sri Krishna, Akarshati, is it? You call it? Karshanam. He starts to move towards us just by that. So it said if we just stay in the lower position, don't try to go to the high position, seven of the gopis and all. Just in the lower position, it said that there was these disciples. This disciple of his guru and the residents of Vaikuntha came to him and said, your time has come. Let's go to Vaikuntha. And he said, there's no question I can come with you because I haven't completed my responsibilities in the service of Guru Maharaj. This type of devotion is wanted. By staying in a lower position, we'll automatically find ourselves in the highest position. Krishna himself will becomes evam sandashita yanga harina britya vasita. He becomes subservient to such a devotion. We may be mad, but that's our aspiration. What can we do? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there any questions or comments? Prabhu.
Thank you for a very nice class. You spoke about abhilasha, and you said that there are certain situations in which having an abhilasha is not a breach. Now, in a devotee's life, there are so many situations where, in a very subtle way, we do desire many things. Sometimes some devotees come and say, you pray this, pray for us, do this, you do that. And many times, they are not on a spiritual platform. So, would they all be avruta? You know, they'll all be, you know, covered over.
Are we doomed?
how do we understand it in a very precise way as to what is, you know, shunya and abhilashita shunya and what is not shunya?
You know, there's so much knowledge in these scriptures. Unlimited knowledge, literally. And there's so much good advice. But it's very important to follow this business or this way of life and to be situated amongst elders. You know, people who have become authorities on the subject, and they become an authority on the subject in that they are very knowledgeable of the scriptures. Srutriyam. Brahmanistam. Srutriyam means they're very knowledgeable of all these scriptures. They've studied them. We may not have time to study them because, you know, in grihastha life, life is such. We're full-time service. We're full-time in the service of our wife. So the time is very tight. So we may not be able to read so much. We may not even be very good in reading. So therefore, somebody who is and has developed to a point where they've become an authority in the subject because they're very knowledgeable. And also, Brahmanistam means that they are securely situated in their devotional practices. They're not, you know, up and down and fluctuating. Not like the stock market. They're just, you know, they're just on a steady increase. They're fixed in devotion. Nishtita bhakti. Then by remaining in that association, we can't underestimate. Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita states that Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sangha. Krishna prema janme tenho punaha mukhya anga. That the birth of devotion is through sadhu sangha. And even in the highest states, prema, Krishna prema janme tenho punaha mukhya anga. It's a mukhya anga, a very principal limb. A very principal activity is associating with devotees. So if we choose our association properly, that at least that much discrimination we must have. We must have that much discrimination. If we choose our association properly and associate with those who are knowledgeable of the process and well experienced in the process, then gradually we can sort the, what do you say, the chaff from the rice. We'll begin to, first we'll be able to identify it. Adau sada tata sadhu sangha. Then bhajana kriya. And by the bhajana kriya in the sadhu sangha with a little faith, then anatta nivritti, we'll go through it all. Oh, look at that. Ooh, such a terrible quality I have. Oh my God, I seem to be getting worse from practicing Krishna consciousness. I'm supposed to be getting better, but the more I'm chanting, the more I'm serving, it seems I'm becoming a demoniac person. I'm becoming a vritta. I'm completely covered. That's the beginning. That's progress. I believe there was some sannyasi disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta who approached him and said, we've been following Krishna consciousness for such a long time, but we don't seem to be getting anywhere. And he said, now you're getting somewhere. This is the first point. Even in psychology, you know, the modern psychology, they call this embracing the dragon of yourself. If somebody's an alcoholic and the family's all trying to help them, they're saying, you know, Dad, you should go to the Alcoholics Anonymous. You should take some program of cleaning yourself or whatever. You say, what's the problem? I only have a wee drink. That's how the drunks in Scotland speak. What he said was, what's the problem? I'm only having a little drink. What's the problem? I have a little drink. How can you help such a person? Therefore, Prabhupada even stated that saying, God helps those who help themselves. Because the first stage is, you better be prepared to help yourself. So when the finally, the family member says, oh, I've had enough of this. I'm sorry, everybody. You know, I'm just a drunkard. I've let everybody down. I've not fulfilled my responsibilities. I spent all the money on booze. Then he's beginning. Then there's hope for the future. So in the anatta nivritti, it's a bit like that, realizing you're drunk. You're drunk with materialism. You're drunk with materialistic qualities. You're drowning in it. And then by the favorable association, gradually we can identify all the silly things in ourselves. And by that saintly association, isn't it? It said in that song by Narottam Das Thakur, Gangara parasa hoile, paschati pavan, darshani pavitra koro, eitumar gun. You know, you can bathe in the Ganga repeatedly, but just by seeing a devotee, then all of these silly things in us, just as when Vritta appeared, all everybody ran in every direction. In the association of good devotees, all of these silly things, they run for their life. So I would put that as a point of emphasis on developing the fine discrimination in order to become self-realized and to realize our constitution. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Is there anything else? Prabhu.
Prabhuji, you said that the knowledge obscures devotional service. So is that devotees who aspire for more and more material knowledge, that knowledge is going to obscure their devotional service? Like if somebody is going for higher degrees or something.
Yeah.
Is that obscure the devotional service then?
I knew someone would ask that question. I don't want to get into any trouble with any more parents. So I just put a disclaimer before this. I will retain my right to remain silent until I speak to my lawyer. You know, no point in doing something half-heartedly, that's for sure. So if you're in the Grihastha life, or you're preparing for Grihastha life, then it's very important that your social responsibility is that you should prosper and your family should prosper. Not that you become a lazy person and you make a false show of living the life of bhajan and you can't feed your kids. Your wife is sent to you by Krishna to purify you. And your children are also Krishna's. So they obviously I should give them, take care of them very nicely. And therefore, it's important that I do it well. If I go to university and I view it in that sense, then I also have to be concerned for what people will think of me, because I represent the Krishna conscious way of life. Like there was one girl from our temple, she went to college and her behavior was so good. You know, the head of the college said to her, he said, you know, you're a very fine example, you know, of a human being. And from this, your community must be something very special. So I think it's very important that if you're going to do it, then be the best. Or, you know, try to be. Do it properly. Take it very seriously. And accomplish in that. And that will serve you in your vocation. And then you'll be able to give so much time to bhajan without worrying every day for money. Because if your nishtha is not... I mean, if your nishtha is very high, you're sadhu, niskinchan sadhu, then, you know, you'll live like Gorkishore Das Babaji. But if you try to imitate that because you're socially irresponsible, you know, then that type of devotion, Krishna, isn't it in the Gita, he says, mithya achara. This is mithya achara. This is false conduct. So therefore, in that sense, it's a requirement. And Krishna's given you gifts, and you should utilize them and be a fully sociable, socially responsible person. But you should understand that being a socially... it will obscure your devotion if you think to be a socially responsible person is the goal of life. Right? Then it's obscuring your devotion. Like, for instance, it says that if you live in a village situation or you're a part of a community, and if you don't follow specific things, you'll be outlawed. I mean, you'll bring ill repute on your family. So therefore, out of social necessity, you perform... this example is actually given by Jiva Goswami. If you perform your social responsibility out of local necessity and understanding in that context, it does not obscure your devotion. But if you think by doing it you'll attain devotional service, then it's obscured. Now also, when you cultivate knowledge and you bring that into the institution of spreading Krishna consciousness, you can make a very fine contribution. And I've seen that. I've seen that people who join our... many people, not everybody, people may join our movement at a young age. Like, I'm 21, I just left college, I joined. I never had a job, you know, practically speaking. I joined the temple. Now, through, you know, perhaps the vacant posts and the few people to fill them, I got early promotion. But, you know, living within the movement, you're very isolated from knowledge and skills of modern society that can really assist you in your service. Like now, in my room, I'm reading a book right now. It's called The One Thing You Should Know. It's about leadership and management. And reading that book helps me. Reading these books helped me so much in the management of our temple. It helps me to understand what is the mechanisms of leadership and management and how to exploit the roles to the maximum degree in the service of Krishna. To run a good ship in the service of Krishna. Now, when somebody does, like for instance, if somebody studies, what is it, the MBA, and they come to the temple and hear the brahmacharis like, we want to start a restaurant. And how are we going to do it? I don't know, let's look in the Gita about that. Or what does it say about starting restaurants in Prabhupada's books? And you say, hang on, I run a whole business for so many years. Just look, do this, 1, 2, 3. Okay, finished. Now what's your income and your expenditure and all? This is the formula, this much you should earn from this, this much you pay the workers, this is how you manage it. Okay, chan your owns. You have a prospering society. So all of this knowledge and these skills, I mean, when educated people, also when not only educated, it's like now I think we're adopting a policy, which I think you maybe have here, where, you know, finish your education and work for some time and then join. We're following that now in England. Because, you know, somebody with knowledge without experience can be, well, they can be worse than somebody who's uneducated. Because they think they know all, but they've no practical experience. So therefore, the cultivation of knowledge, when it's utilized to serve a higher principle, you know, like for instance, if you were, say, to become the king, you know, and you thought you were just going to inherit the post and not take the responsibilities of understanding what the role entails, you'll just make a complete fool of yourself and you won't serve your people. So if you're responsible, if you're a temple president and you don't have a keen idea about management administration, you'll frustrate your community. So therefore, when the knowledge is cultivated, and if we're going to do it, better be good. No half measure. You know, Hare Krishna, best, you know, I'll get through, don't worry for that. That attitude will just obscure our devotion as well. We'll end up like that with the devotion. Hey, Eka Krishna Nama Kari Sarva Pavak Shai. I chanted one name today. What's the problem? So it's a question of attitude, and that attitude will serve us very well in devotional service. The attitude to achieve. So therefore, in that sense, when it's understood and it's utilized to serve a higher purpose, then that knowledge, by the association of the Krishna consciousness movement, becomes an ornament. Whereas in the absence of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, there may be so many zeros, but without one, it amounts to nothing. So therefore, if that's your line, then do it, and do it well, and bring it all to serve Prabhupada. He'll be very happy to exploit you to the max in service. If there are any parents here, was that okay? If you're a parent, can you show me your hand if that was acceptable? Thank you, bro. Okay. Krishna Nam Prabhu. So, don't let it obscure your devotion. And you're in this for the long haul. You know, I know when exams come. Like, you know, my wife just graduated as a barrister. When her exams came, I don't know how things were moving in that area, but it was a kind of it had a deadline, and I knew things would speed up as soon as the exam was finished. So, you know, being a devotee is being a balanced person. That's the path of bhakti. Anati sakto navairagya. We're neither crazy for renunciation, neither crazy for materialism. We're just developing gradually a craziness about devotional service. So, you know, that's a devotee. It's a balanced person. That's very important to be balanced. Of course, I've seen eccentric people do very well in Krishna consciousness. They do. They get very eccentric about it. They go like very fast. But it could be difficult to understand them. Should I stop now? Is there a last question? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.